You are listening to the Joshua Segafis Podcast.
Welcome back to the Joshua Segafis Podcast, the only podcast that teaches you how to be truly alpha. If you're ready to level up to succeed at dating, relationships, business, fitness, and everything else that matters, then stick around. This is exactly where you want to be.
This episode is brought to you by my flagship dating course, Dating in the Wild, The Adult Man Method. Are you sick and tired of a lackluster dating life? Gentlemen, if you know anything about my personal story, you know that I used to suck at dating. I could barely get a text back from a woman, much less a date. I was lonely, depressed, anxious, and felt like my dating life was truly a hopeless endeavor. But I didn't give up, and eventually it all changed. I got to work and figured out how to transform myself from being a total dating zero to an absolute dating hero and succeeded in creating the dating life of my dreams. And in this dating course, you can learn the exact skills, strategies, techniques, and thought processes that I learned over 2.5 years of studying, trial, error, blood, sweat, tears, testing, and lots of hard work. The secret is to learn what women evolved to look for in a mate, and then to develop yourself into the truly masculine, attractive, high-value man who taps directly into the instincts that guide the ever-mysterious female mate selection process. Not only will this course teach you how to transform your dating life, it'll also empower you to become a better, more successful man in the process. So click on the link in the description, grab the course, and get ready to change your dating life forever. Michael LaRocque, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. This is, it's really good. I mean, just our little talk here before we start recording, and man, you're my people. This is awesome. I like this. It's going to be a good conversation.
Absolutely. And now for the audience, Michael reached out to me. He inquired about possibly having a conversation, and you guys know how it is. I like to have first conversations with people on the podcast, document it, makes it better. And we're going to, I don't want to jump too quickly into this, but our topic for today, as you probably judge by the title, masculinity in modern society, is it a crisis? But Michael, before we jump too far into this, would you just give a brief like introduction and introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, for sure, man. So like I say, my name is Michael LaRocque. I've been in this kind of man's world, manosphere, really digging into it since, call it about 2016, after some life-changing stuff, which we can get into in the stories, but, it's been really good. So I've been doing that. I'm up here in Canada. I'm in central Alberta, plugging away, working a little bit and kind of independent consulting, doing some men's coaching, working with my wife with relationship coaching, and just been very fortunate of where I am. And as we get into some of the backstories, most of you will be surprised of how I even got here to where I am. I have no business even being sitting here talking to you guys, to be honest, but it's been an amazing journey, man. And I wouldn't change anything. And like I say, I'm married. I got a son. He's 5 and a half. And then we got a newborn. We're on baby watch right now. I don't know, but here's some yelling, my wife yelling at me to where baby's coming. So we got any day now. So it's exciting times for me around here. So, It's really good, man. I'm really good.
That's awesome. Awesome. All right. So Michael, you do a lot of work with men, you work with couples. And to be honest, when I do guest spots like this on the podcast, I kind of like to just get out of the way and let you share your wisdom, talk about the things that, you know, you're working on, the things you're thinking about. And going back to this topic, masculinity in modern society, is it a crisis? It's been a little while since I've had a dedicated conversation about masculinity on the podcast. So this is great to come back to. You know, we talk about a lot of things on this podcast, dating, relationships, business, fitness, you know, the alpha journey really is what it all comes down to for men and women. But masculinity has a special place in my heart. It was one of the original things that I founded this, my platform, first my blog and then the podcast that I wanted to talk about, was because for me, and my listeners know this if they've been listening to me for a while, I had my own bout with trying to discover my masculinity, figure out what the hell was going on with the process of being a man and what that meant. And so, yeah, I just want to kind of turn this topic over to you and hear what you've been working on, hear what you've been discovering, what you've been thinking about. And just go for it. Let us in on what you've been learning and doing in this masculinity space, and then talking about the topic of, you know, is it a crisis? Are we in a masculinity crisis? And if so, what does that mean, and what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I've been very fortunate in my life as far as the masculinity in the stereotypical sense. So I grew up in Saskatchewan, again, another province here in Canada, and I grew up Northern Saskatchewan, grew up on a farm, small farm. So, I mean, the value of work, I learned that firsthand, got to watch my father work himself to death, literally, and see what that looked like, take what I kind of take from it a little bit too, and realize what I don't want for my family life and for being a man moving onwards. But at the same time, he instilled so much in me as far as work ethic, and really reaping the rewards of that and seeing what hard work does, seeing what it turns into as far as being that person that people rely on, being the, like, there's no one to call when you're, that was the, one of the big lessons when you're on a small farm is like, well, someone needs, well, you got to fix this, or like, well, it's broken, we should call somebody. It's like, you're that person. It's not like there's no money there to call like somebody to come fix anything, plumbing, electrical, whatever that looks like. So, I mean, you're the guy that has to fix it, right? So I learned so many things off that guy, and just like, you know, crazy fixes to make things work, crazy ideas to try to make life easier on the farm. Just so much, right? And again, the whole waking up super early to go feed pigs, feed cows, and then coming in super late from, you know, he had a couple day jobs as well, plus, you know, working, doing whatever. So I was very fortunate in my life to have that example. But again, that was an example of work and growing up on the farm. As far as an example for relationships or anything like that, I did not have, he was not that, not the guy to give that to me, in which again, we can get onto that a little bit, but I mirrored a lot of what he showed, and it didn't work well for me in relationships. So, but as far as work and masculinity, man, that guy, he was, I mean, I'm sure everyone says that about their dads, but he was a man's man. Like, he worked hard. His hands were like sausages. Like, I mean, it was just nuts. So, what this guy did. So I'm very fortunate, like I say, getting to see that firsthand and then taking that into my own life. I left home. I was the baby in the family. I had three other siblings. We're all 5 years apart. So my parents were a little older as well. And I left home when I was 17, I think 18, whatever it was, right after high school. Nothing bad, like not in a bad way. I just left to go do my own thing, moved to a different city, started working, and really learned that work ethic. I got in the trades, started as a carpenter, and my work ethic, learning that stuff on the farm and learning to solve problems, right? And not to have to always reach out to people or whatever, just see a problem, figure it out, you know, don't panic, we'll figure out a way to fix it and go. And that took me so far in that career, because being a carpenter on commercial projects, it was like, you know, all you do is essentially problem solve, right? So did that, and then worked my way up really fast. Like, I got into a journeyman carpenter, and then from there, even before I was a journeyman, they put me in the site supervisor role on these large commercial projects. So I was, you know, I was a young guy, I was like 23, running, you know, 100 guys on site, all these old guys, like, who the heck's this young guy trying to tell me what to do and everything else. But learned so much as far as leadership, people dynamics, work itself. And it was very interesting. So I got so lucky in that, but at the again, same time, got really caught up in the work, self-soothing. So I would take, you know, cause you're just a ball of stress, I would take all that stress and drink it away. So I really turned to alcohol to kind of mask that, which in turn turned me into a terrible partner, terrible husband, terrible boyfriend to be around, right? So that really worked itself into relationships. But again, on the outside, I look like that man's man, solving my problems, going out for beers pretty much every night or every Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing. And just stuffing my feelings down. So that worked its way until it hit a point where it didn't work. And then my wife finally came and said, hey, it's, I think we got to stop this. I want to get a divorce. Right. And it was that point where things kind of took a turn in our journey. But, going back to the masculine side, and I, again, very fortunate, but at the same time, it's definitely like your title says, it's in a crisis, man, because most people don't have that example in their life. And it's showing, it's coming back in spades. For a while, everyone thought they could pull it off and do it, and, you know, it would be fine. But now it's showing itself really bad. And I get to see it firsthand as far as still have my foot in the trades a bit. And I see it firsthand of the people coming in and the detriment it has on everything that's happening right now.
Yeah. So being around the building trades guys, you know, that's a lot of men working in those careers, and I can kind of relate, because I did construction for a while, residential construction. This was way back in the day before I started writing, but you know, those you come into contact with so many different types of men, so many types of like issues, backgrounds, so many different types of lives and perspectives. And I can only imagine that it must be so black and white to like have gone on this journey of masculinity for yourself. You used to be around these guys all the time, these types of guys, and then to have this journey. And now the black and white, like the picture, you like having the awareness of what you, how you used to be versus how you are now. And then sometimes maybe being able to see those things in other people too. Like what types of things do you look for? You know, when you're like, if a guy comes to you for help, guy comes to you asking about, you know, maybe getting some coaching, getting some guidance, something like that. What are the big problems that you're looking to like identify and solve as a baseline, like the very first things?
For sure, man. The first thing I always find as a baseline, and we talk about it, is health and like where you're at with your body, because most men feel like their body's not where it was, not where. Right off of the priority list. Right. So I know you talk about fitness too, but really get into the body and how you're feeling. And you don't have to be jacked up six pack anything. It's just like how you feel about yourself, because that just goes miles into everything else. Cause most guys come to me with that, they're lacking confidence, but because they're lacking strength, they're not seeing the guy that they used to see in the mirror. And that's kind of the first one that I dive into anyway, with most guys, is making sure self anyway. So like I say, it starts with fitness, and then we get really into self as far as like, you know, habits, what that looks like, what you're eating, what you're putting in your body, and then fitness and movement and everything else off of it.
That's awesome. I love that. It's very foundational. What we put in our body matters a lot. I used to be terrible about the junk food. I just ate all kinds of bad stuff, pizza, tacos, you know, nachos, soda, drinking. I used to drink two liters of Coke a day back when I was, you know, in my 20s. I was overweight, I was out of shape, I did not like myself, you know. It takes a toll on you. And, you know, getting into shape is an act of self-love as much as it is, you know, a desire to want to look better and feel better. It's also like caring for yourself, which I think a lot of men nowadays, they don't prioritize caring for themselves, you know, in a way that they should. And I think that's one area that men, I think, could really help stand to use some help in. But what do you think about like this idea when people say masculinity is in crisis? Okay. What do you think they're talking about? Like, and there's a lot of different people saying this, but when you hear this, what do you think of as like, oh yeah, this is the problem?
Yeah. Like the big thing, that's a great question. The big thing that stands out to me is this is just me talking, but like, I feel like most men aren't allowed to be men anymore. So like, you know, even raising their voice, doing different things in public, even, everything just, it's everything just been dumbed down. That's a bad word to put it, but like really softened. Everything's soft, right? Around the edges. And that, you can't be that hard guy anymore. No one really accepts that hard guy anymore. And it's a shame, because that's what I see, is like nobody accepts that until you need it. And then all of a sudden you need it, and it's like, oh no, we need that guy. But then he's either we broke so many men down that we're not making those men anymore, or that guy is so busy, or you know, like so busy, so in need or so needed that he's not gonna help these other people, right? So it's very tricky. I get it. I understand where a lot of people are coming from, even on the other side of it. But at the same time, we're not allowing men to be men anymore. And then when we need men, they're not there. It's a really crazy, crazy dynamics, because I hear a lot of women talk about it, right? Relationships. Like, well, I want my men to open up. I want my men to be softer. I want my men to listen to me. I want my men to do all these things. And then when they do, they almost go off too far on the other side. And they start doing those things. And then all of a sudden she's sleeping with Chad, or, you know, she's like, well, why can't you be a man, make a decision, do these things? Like most guys are just so torn. They're like, well, I don't know what she wants. Right. And it's a very tricky situation, but that's what I see for sure.
100%, man. That is so confusing to men. Like that one situation is so confusing. Like the seeming disparity between what women say they want and what they seem to actually want. Most men have a very hard time, translating that, and understandably so. It's not easy to translate. Okay. Now, let's just say, you know, there's men listening to this conversation and they're thinking, man, is my masculinity in crisis? Like, what are the symptoms of this? How do I know if my masculinity is where it's supposed to be? Like, what would you say in response to that question?
Yeah. Like I'm really big on, I just have a really good list of like things, right? Like mm-hmm. you have to have, like, it's almost like a code for guy. Like you have to have honor, right? And men, everybody, people are smart. People know what's going on in their own head. They might play dumb and whatever on the outside, but people know. And when I do things, I know if I was in honor, like I know if I was honoring myself, if I was being, you know, integrity with myself, or if I was being integral with someone else. I know if I lied to them. I know if I didn't tell them the whole truth. I know if I didn't put in full effort. I know, you know, all these things, right? So mm-hmm. for me, being a man or being inside of that, or being at least a checklist for that, is very, it's very easy to see. And, you know, like I say, innately. So it's like, you have to have integrity with yourself. You have to be, do you feel like a provider? Do you feel like you can protect anybody? Are you being accountable? Like, are you being accountable to yourself? Are you being accountable to other people? Are you saying what you're going to do and doing what you're going to say? Those kind of things. Leadership. And it doesn't mean leading 100 guys on a job site. It can mean leading yourself. Leading your family is where it really starts. And that's what I'm a big proponent of, but mm-hmm. leading yourself, making sure, you know, you're eating the right things, doing the right things, moving, and then leading your family, giving your wife, giving your girlfriend something to actually follow and believe in. So again, we can get in more of this, but our big thing with my wife and I, and our mission, is really making sure those women feel safe in a relationship. And as soon as she can feel safe, man, everything else is easy. Cause that's when she really goes into her feminine, and she can be herself. She can really be the nurturer. She can raise those kids, cook those meals, do these things. And it's beautiful to see, but you have to do your job too as a man, and you have to make sure that she is safe. And safe means a lot of things: safe emotionally, safe physically, making sure no one's around, and making sure that she trusts you, that you can actually protect her. If something actually went down, you know, you're not just going to run away or go eat something, you know what I mean? Or go play a video game. So you got to be able to do that. And that's really the biggest one for me. But like I say, it always goes back to those kind of key words, and integrity is a very big one, and accountability. And just, if you have those things, it's going to take you so far, whether it's relationships, whether it's life, career. I mean, if you're integral and have any of that with a career, man, you're going to skyrocket so fast nowadays, right? Because it just doesn't exist anymore.
100%. 100%. No, that's all. So it's so funny to hear you talk about this stuff, because it mirrors so much of the stuff that I talk about on this podcast, like every day. And I hear a lot of other men talking about these things, and it's seeing a resurgence, because what we have is, like, we have a situation where, and I don't know if it's always been this way, to be really honest. You know, I'm 30, you know, I'm going to be 36 coming up. So this is just, I have 36 years worth of, you know, experience to look at, but I don't know if it was like this in the generations before me. But what I see is, I almost see, and I think this is the best way to describe it. And you can tell me what you think. I'll bounce this off you. Tell me what you think. One of the big problems, I think, is that our culture has kind of feminized everything, right? Now, and understandably so. There's a lot of amazing qualities in the feminine, right? But then it started to apply it to men, like almost to the point where it's like, you know, men, maybe you should behave more like women than men. Like, maybe you should adopt more of these feminine qualities and get rid of some of the masculine qualities. I think this happened for a number of reasons. That's pretty deep, like, to go into the history of that. There's a lot of things, but I think that that's one way to characterize the problem. And I think that this causes a number of issues. Number one, women hate it. Women don't like it, because they feel like, well, we're all the real men. I coach women in my coaching practice, you know, dating coaching, alpha mentality coaching. I also have women who are friends and family members. And one common theme I keep hearing is, man, where are the real men? Like, I keep dating these boys who, like, they're not ready to grow up. Peter Pan syndrome. Like, I don't know if you like that, that whole thing seems to run so rampant. Right. And so it's like, you know, okay, so what do you think about, what do you think about that kind of idea? You know, that there has been so much feminization, like, pressed upon men in our culture that they've kind of lost track of those masculine qualities that used to set them very much apart from women. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Well, I think you summed it up really well. That was a great way to put it, because I mean, that's, you nailed everything there. And it's, there's also like that adage of, you know, good times create weak men and hard times mm-hmm. create hard men. And I, there, that whole cycle, right? The four things.
Yeah.
Which is a really good book, actually. And that whole saying and the whole, everything behind it. But mm-hmm. with all that, I really truly believe that, because these good times really have created weaker men. Right. And, myself included. I mean, we're the last, I'm 38. So we're that last generation of, I was just talking to this with a guy yesterday, of we've grown up without a cell phone, without a computer. We had like the one telephone in the house, maybe two channels on TV, like all that kind of stuff, right? We grew up that way, but then we've grown up with and evolving with computers, internet, cell phones, just easier life, right? Even easier than we grew up with. Cause when we grew up, even is like, you know, go to the fridge for food, whatever. Right. I was very fortunate on the farm because at least we had to chop firewood and had to haul wood in and stuff, but you still have plumbing. You still have all the easy stuff. But now like people are growing up with like, everything is at their fingertips. You're getting food at your fingertips. You don't even have, like, there's people like these stories you read, they don't even have to get off the couch and, they'll deliver your food right to you, like right to you. Just open the door, come in.
Yeah.
Just crazy things like that. Right. So life has gotten really easy for us. Like it's, and we don't have to, unless we're in like kind of gangs or anything, like you're not protecting anything anymore physically, really. I mean, mm-hmm. unless you put yourself in those situations. So it's not like there's a huge physical, dangers anymore at all. And then, I mean, like I say, life's gotten so easy. Work. It's not like you're working. We don't have to work to like build a house. We don't have to chop wood to heat houses unless we want to, right? But we don't have to do any of those things anymore. So life has just gotten way too easy for guys. And, you know, most men laying around, you're just laying around getting fat, not moving, not doing anything. And then with all that, you have all these women, or so you see, think anyway, or society is telling us to like be softer, be more feminine, like you just nailed, right? Like talk about your feelings more and do different things. And it's had such a detriment on everything, because again, like you said, women think they want that, or it's easy to say that you want that. And then once it's happening and it's there, it's like, oh, I'm not attracted to this person. Cause it's biology, man. It's like your instincts. It's, yeah. You are not going to do anything for me.
Women want an effective man, a formidable man who's effective, who can keep her safe. And see, men misunderstand this, and this really is difficult. So, you know, like, let's take this. This is a very classic, unfortunate example. Guy starts to, you know, get involved with a girl, you know, they date and they get married or whatever. So he, you know, the concepts of leadership, like what you were mentioning earlier, this stuff isn't really talked about in our culture, really. Men don't have a source for this unless they have a really good, strong male role model. But, you know, even like you said, like you're talking about your dad, he was a good role model in some ways. And in some ways, there was some stuff you didn't get, right? And my experience is very similar. I had some great role models in some ways, but there were some things that was never talked about. Like leadership was never, ever discussed. I was like, oh yeah, leadership. But I didn't really know what that was until I was much older, right? And being an effective leader, of course, you know, and that goes into the alpha mentality, being the head of the tribe, which actually means, a lot of people think that means being a bully or being the most aggressive. It's like, no. This is about being a leader, being the one who can help the whole tribe succeed at their goals of survival, of thriving, the consoler in chief, you know, the protector, you know, the one who takes responsibility. Like these are leadership traits. A lot of people misunderstand this. Now, you take a man in today's world who doesn't really understand leadership, right? And then he gets, and this is such a unfortunate, this is such an unfortunate situation, but he'll get into a relationship with a woman. And of course, conflict is going to come up. Now, when this happens, and I don't know if you've read, you probably have John Gottman's Man's Guide to Women, and he lays this out so well. You know, our fight or flight responses are still the same as they were when we were cavemen, right? So when we get into an argument with our wife, and then the emotions that come up, they're the exact same emotions that came up when an enemy used to attack us with a spear. But because, and this is such a good thing, that we live in a culture and in a world where not every time there's conflict, it's life or death. We haven't trained ourselves, right? As a species, the men haven't trained ourselves to be able to handle those conflicts. And so maybe we lash back and this argument ensues, right? And then, so it's like, in some ways, some men equate that with, oh, I'm being strong. I'm standing up for myself. Like I'm having this conflict. I'm going to fight about this because this is what a strong man does. It's like, no, this is mischaracterization of strong, right? This is like this conflict. This is supposed to be the person you love. Being strong would be like being able to be not only present with your feelings, but also able to keep them at bay so that they don't control your actions, so that you don't get into this unfortunate argument with your wife, right? And it is this area where, and many other areas like this, is where I think the problem and the confusion is coming from. And so what do you think about that? Just bouncing that off, yeah.
Oh man. I mean, it's funny listening to you talk about this stuff, because like you're saying the stuff I would say, because it's so true, man. It's all of that is. And so if we go back to your even leadership, so again, none of this is being taught at really any level, right? And it's just, you know, go be a leader and either you sink or swim, and that's what it is. And you nailed it with people think that you got to be a bully to get people to do things. Whoever yells the loudest is going to get things done. And that's a real misconception, especially on construction. I speak to construction because I know it, but I was very fortunate because I got to do like a case study, ongoing case study, and I get to see all this stuff at that level. And the person that yells and screams and hollers and throws stuff around, that, well, even in my whole time in it, it doesn't work anymore. I grew up when I was an apprentice, it kind of worked. That was like the last kind of guys that could pull that off, because that most of that generation was the older one where, you know, they learned that style of just aggression. And that's what got people done, and they whip them and people moved. But now you really have to have an emotional intelligence. And this is what I try to coach most men on. And I've been very fortunate now with my consulting, even on another aspect of, I consult a lot of leaders within construction and with different, not even construction, but just in that whole industry as a whole. And you get to talk to people about building that emotional intelligence, because you have to be able to be nimble enough to talk to and lead, you know, that guy sweeping the floor, that apprentice, those carpenters, that electrician, those plumbers, those guys running the machines. But at the same time, you have to be the bridge between customers, engineers, project managers, people in more white collar positions, right? That don't react to, you can't go in there just swearing and doing all these different things, because it doesn't compute. So you got to really be able to have the intelligence to realize and read the room and know what you're up against and know how to adjust. But at the same time, all these guys coming up come from that softer generation, right? So you have to be able to relate to them in a way of, you know, yeah, it almost turns into rubbing their back a little bit, right? Of, you have to be able to understand where they're coming from and be a lot softer with them. But at the same time, this is where I tell everybody, you still have to be able to show that you're that leader, that strong person. And sometimes I don't really enjoy it a whole lot, but at the same time I do, because it kind of hits that switch. But you know, sometimes you got to turn it on. And I tell people, like, you got to show your fangs sometimes to show people that you can still do it, and you will, and you have to, and you got to pick your spots when to do it. But at the same time, you're not doing that all the time.
And it has to be a rational decision, not reacting out of emotion, right? Which is all the difference. Absolutely. There's a quote, and Jordan Peterson says this all the time. I have a feeling you're a Jordan Peterson fan. I don't know if you are or not.
No, I got him playing in the background a lot all the time.
He's one of my thought mentors. Like, I listen to him almost daily. I love his work. But he often says that, a harmless man is not a good man. You know, to be a good man, you need to be able to be dangerous. You have to have the capacity for violence and then have learned to control it. And this is what makes you a good man. This is what makes you a virtuous man. So why does that make you good? Because if you're not formidable, you cannot be effective. You're not going to be good for anything, because this is what the mandate of the masculine is: to generate resources and solve problems and to provide and protect and to be able to create security for the tribe, for the family, for the community. This is what we bring to the table, right? And it's there's a lot of pride to be found in it. And it's something that we have to cultivate, right? And so being able to be formidable and rationally so in a measured, you know, calculated way, so that we aren't flying off the handle. This is such a difficult, this is a difficult thing to learn. And in some ways, like, you kind of only learn it through experience, but the self-awareness is where it starts. I sometimes tell this joke. People are like, how do you learn to engage in conflict without letting your emotions get the best of you? I was like, well, I just go pick a lot of fights. That's what I do. And then I practice. But that's not true, but it's almost like that, right? When we're talking about emotional intelligence, how do you teach that? How do you get people to understand this and like how to do this?
Yeah. Well, the writing's on the wall everywhere, right? And you can see it in a lot of places. But going back even to that Jordan Peterson quote, that's a beautiful quote. I love it. And I talked about that. And I always talk about, like, you know, I'd rather be a guard or a warrior in a garden than a gardener mm-hmm. in a war. Same yeah. thing, right? But I got firsthand experience with that, because I growing up, like teenager, I grew up in like Northern Saskatchewan. So you're kind of rough and rowdy and whatever, right? And mm-hmm. I got to do a lot of things. So like you'd have the occasional dust up or occasional fight, but it was always like out of the blue, and it was usually quick, and generally almost 100% of the time was alcohol infused. That's what happened, right? But then in my late teens or early 20s, I got really into boxing. So I got boxing, competing, doing all that stuff. And as soon as I did all that, it was like a switch hit, where I would go, you know, even if I was at the bar, if I was anywhere, you just have like this confidence, and you carry yourself with like, I know I can take care of myself. I'll be okay. And at the same time, I don't want to fight. Like, I don't want to fight you. I'll do everything I can do to not fight you, because I don't want to break my hands, because I probably have a fight coming up or something, right? Like, it's not worth my time. I have nothing to prove. I know in myself that I'm strong enough, so I have nothing to prove. And that whole quiet confidence, that quiet cool, it takes you so far, right? And it's a beautiful way. And you just feel safe. Like, no matter how big or strong someone is, like, at least I feel like, you know, I'll get one or two shots in anyway. I'll be okay. But it's tricky. And then now with my son, this is a big one that I talked to Man about. And like, we talked about fitness. I am sorry, I'm kind of bouncing all over on you.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
We talk like fitness, making sure you're okay with yourself. But at the same time, it's to find some sort of martial art, find some sort of combat sport, whether it's boxing, karate, or something. But I tell most men, is especially our age now and moving, oh, any age. My son, I have him in jiu-jitsu and he's 5 and he's loving it and he's doing all kinds of stuff, and he's going to grow mm-hmm. with that. But even myself, I really got into jiu-jitsu in the sense of just trying to find something that I can grow with, because you can be 70 and still rolling, right? Boxing, I kind of hung up the gloves because I had to get nose surgery. My nose was so buggered up that now I was like, don't touch my nose, man. It hurts. I couldn't breathe that night. It was just it was a disaster how my nose would just mush. But anyway, going back to that, is you have to learn some sort of form of combat. One, to protect yourself, protect your family, but it does so much mentally, especially, like I said, back to jiu-jitsu. It broke me down massively, because I was a boxer. I felt like, you know, good and stuff. Mm-hmm. Roll in there and it's like guys are just throwing you around left, right, all over the place. And that's one of the last times as a man you feel like that true beginner. There's nothing, like you're just there, like, teach me. If you have, but you have to have that mindset, because I've seen so many men go in there and they're gone that first class because they just can't handle the beating that they're taking. I say beating, but I mean, you're not going to like, you're not, you, but you just to be, feel so insignificant and feel like so powerless. Mm-hmm. But the more you stick it out, the more you train, the more it turns into a superpower and you can learn a lot with it. But so that's super important. So, I mean, if you can learn that goes miles. But yeah, sorry, I digress. Like I say, I jumped all over the place on you, but it's important to me. That one's really important to me.
No, combat sports are amazing. Like I actually did boxing last year. I didn't do combat sports in my 20s. I really regret not doing it. I played like basketball and stuff, but I really wasn't in very good shape. I wasn't taking care of my body in my 20s. So in my 30s, I tried to, you know, do a lot better. And I started boxing, and it was one of the most difficult things. I was so out of shape. And then I got in there, started doing the workouts. It was so demanding, and it was just pure misery, right? Just pure. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to kill me. I'm literally going to die in here. I'm either going to die or I'm going to get strong, but I like refused to quit. And I think that, you know, in my mind, in the back of my mind, I was like, this is the thing. This is difficult. Like, you know, going through this exercise is difficult, but it's also like I want to prove this to myself. Like, I want to show that I'm capable of getting through this. I want to show that I care enough about my body and my heart and my muscles that I'm going to go through this, that I'm going to put in the reps, you know, that I'm going to put in the work. And so it's almost like a miserable act of self-love, right? It's like, it was really miserable till I got in shape, but it was out of love for myself. And also it was because I wanted to prove it to myself. I wanted to have confidence, right? I also wanted to become more formidable, a more formidable man, you know, be able to be training, stay in shape in case I ever did have to protect my loved ones. And you're right. It does make you not really want to fight. You kind of lose the urge to fight. It in a way, I think it makes you more peaceful engaging in combat sports, but 100%, every man should do combat sports for at least a while. They should probably do it continually, but yeah, no, that's amazing.
I think so. And you really touched on something pretty awesome there in the sense of it's really hard. Like it's, mm-hmm. you put yourself to like, at times it feels like torture, right? And like, what am I doing? And you're just working so hard. You're sweating, you're getting beat up. You're working hard. You're doing some sort of a workout. You're doing 100 burpees and you just think you're not going to, like your lungs are going to burn. You won't be able to finish, but then you finish. And the reward, that feeling, that euphoric feeling is just like, you can't beat that. And that's what, again, another thing we're missing as men, because we're not doing those things, right? Like we just don't get that feeling very often in life anymore. Like you're not, most guys, if you're sitting at a computer, you finish a report, you're not going to feel that same feeling, or you're not going to feel that same oomph. The battle wasn't really that hard, right? And you don't feel tested in that way, but you start doing those sports. And I mean, you know, they're controlled environments relatively. So, I mean, it's not like,
oh yeah,
you're not really going to die, but it just gives you those feelings, and it pays off in spades, and you start to see it everywhere else in your life.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. 100% agree. I think everyone should do combat sports. It's amazing. It changed my whole life. It was almost religious, right? It was almost like a spiritual experience when you get so beaten down, you're just like, oh my God, I can't do another set of these. And then coach is like, let's do another set. It's like, oh my God, you know, it's like, oh my God. And I was never super athletic, right? So it was all a challenge for me. I'm just like a big square dude, you know, not really. I was never a fast runner. I was tall, so I played post basketball, but I was never like super athletic. It was an awesome experience. Okay. So this emotional intelligence business, right? When you talk to men, when they come to your practice, when they come for coaching, what are the main things you hear them say? Like, you know, when they're like, something's wrong, X, Y, Z, what are you hearing from them?
Yeah. Like most guys can't get everyone doing what they want. So they feel like they're not being the leader. They feel insignificant, and they feel like someone else is like challenging them, wanting to be the leader. And they can't get people to do, they can't get everyone moving in that same direction to get the job done. Right. And they deal with a lot of, so this is all perceptions, but they feel like people are talking behind their back. People are trying to get them fired. People are trying to overtake them, all this stuff. Right. And again, number one, a lot of it is self-confidence. So, I mean, if you're self-confident enough for you to say, well, let them try kind of thing, right? Which is kind of the first thing. But to be really, you have to read people. And this isn't like a 1 hour thing and they can just be done with it. But I always tell guys, like, you, it's like a relationship. It's like anything. You have to understand where the other person's coming from. So if someone comes at you yelling, hey, I'll use construction. Hopefully there's construction guys listening, so they can use this. But like, as an example, so like a drywaller comes at you yelling, screaming like, hey, this wall's not done. Where's the electrician? We need wires pulled in this wall. What's going on? How come he's not here? Whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have to take in his information. But at the same time, like you said, if you're fighting with your woman, you don't lash back right away. You don't make that an initial like attack. taking his info and just let him, hey, I'll get back to either say like, I'll get back to you so you can process it a little more, or have that talk with him right away of being like, you know, hey, we'll process this. We'll figure out what's going on. Just take a breather and we'll get back to you. And then you can process the information, deal with whoever he needs there, and then start breaking that down. And that's kind of almost like a shit test too, that women put us through. Sometimes those guys people will do that to you to see if you're going to be able to help them or not in any way. So once you get past that initial, like, are you going to actually provide any value for me? Once you get past that kind of test, then that's almost like a lot of it. That'll break down a lot of walls and make it a lot easier. And then it's a very easy thing. But at the same time, you have to, again, understand where they're coming from and even ask. So turn that around and you're almost becoming a coach. Like, you have to turn that around and ask them questions of, you know, especially in that example of like, well, what else can you be doing? What can you help with? What else can I help with on top of helping these people? Just become like, build that relationship. It's always relationship building. So I equate it, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I always equate emotional intelligence to just relationship building, good or like, even if you're not going to pursue anything with that person, not romantically or nothing, but just anything, right? Just to have a relationship with somebody, even if you're not going to pursue it, treat it like you will, because it'll pay off. And those little examples will still work for you as far as like wanting to know more about them, find out their backstory. And usually once you find out their backstory, you'll realize why they're reacting the way they're reacting, whether they had like a really crappy childhood, whether they're like, you learn so much. If you just listen to somebody, you'll learn so much about them. Right. So then you can understand why they're coming at you that way. That's the big one for me with emotional intelligence, is just trying to find out as much information as you can of where that person's coming from, because it'll make everything else so much clearer in your head. And then you won't react in that reaction, because that's generally the reaction they want. They want to fight, because then they feel like they're getting, if they can win the fight, then they won, and off you go on your merry way. Right. But it still didn't, all of that happens. Sorry, again, all that happens, but the wall still didn't get drywalled. So it's like, okay, well, we did all that, but the problem's still there. Mm-hmm. Nothing got finished, right?
Yeah.
So
and plus an opportunity was missed to, like you said, maybe build some relationship or to win some respect or to help someone feel a little better, right? That consoler in chief, the alpha mentality comes back around. We can always, like, we can either beat people down or lift them up, right? And so I got into an interesting discussion the other day with one of the members in my community. We were talking about, you know, he was kind of saying, it's just, you know, he was saying, it seems like in our world, it's always like strong men. It's people assume that strong men are always going to be like mean to everyone, because that's just how you get when you become strong. And we were talking about how, no, this is so not true. The strongest people help other people. They lift people up. They want to help them become better. They don't want to put anyone down. You know, that's a true sign of strength, when you want to build others up and you're not looking to hurt people. You know, you want to help people, and hurting people is something the furthest from your mind. Like, you don't want to do that. And so it's, 100%. That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. Here's a question for you. Let's say that, you know, you were given the magic wand to wave and say, okay, you know, this masculinity, the crisis, these problems that men are going through, like you can solve them. Like, you know, you use your techniques and solve this problem in on a wide scale. What do you think is the answer?
I love it. That's a good question, man. No, it's great. So, I mean, for one, making sure that the men are okay. So take care of yourself. So get working out, get into a martial art, get outside, whatever that looks like, depending your situation or what you do. Get out there hunting, find a group of men that you can do something with. And whether that is hunting, or maybe that's something else out in nature, but just as a group of men to get back out there. I'm really big on that, because we're just so far removed from nature, and nature really, really is the great like equalizer, right? And we get so caught up in our world. Like, you know, I got monitors everywhere, and like, I got reports to do and things like that, and we get so caught up in that, thinking that this is the be all ends all, and we're watching our money, we're watching our investments, we're doing all this stuff. But then you get out in nature and you like, you watch a river like flowing by, knocking down trees or doing something, and you realize like, okay, this is the real thing, right? Like this is, nothing else really matters in the grand scheme of things. So doing that, respecting it, and that's where hunting really comes into play. Obviously there's outliers and there's jerks out there, but most people that hunt and fish and do that kind of stuff really respect the land, really respect mm-hmm. the animals. And if they do harvest something, it's because they're going to eat it, right? And really feel that. Again, that could be a talk for another time, like hunting and then eating what you kill and feeding mm-hmm. your family what you kill. I don't know, man. There's not many feelings that really top that. That's a very purifying experience.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild, man. I can't even really put it into words, but it's pretty amazing. So all of that, again, it sounds very stereotypical, but that's kind of the men's side. And then mm-hmm. depending where you're at relationship wise, whether you're a man, you know, on your mission and you just don't have time for that, or you know, women are coming into your frame and leaving your frame, that kind of thing, but mm-hmm. you're still staying on your mission. Relationship wise, if you're married or if you're in a long-term relationship, is really learning how to be vulnerable with women, and not in the sense of dumping all your problems, because most guys think, and most women like, oh, open up your heart, why don't you cry in front of me, open up. So then the guy, like myself included, would have taken that and be like, oh, okay. And then you just start telling them all your problems, you start telling like the daily little things that are eating away at you, all your insecurities, which is like the biggest turnoff ever, right? She does not need to know that. Even your wife, like they don't need to know every little single minute thing. Any insecurities you have, all this wavering on decisions, any of that, mm-hmm. they don't need to know that, because that goes back to like, they're not feeling safe. And I always say that's what you have a men's group for. And that's what you have, whether it's a men's group in the sense of like coaching, whether it's a hunting pack, because again, we don't have those anymore. So whether you have your group of men for hunting, even mentors, like mentors are, they just don't exist anymore in our culture, right? But like having those older guys that have been there, done that, that you can bounce ideas off of, and they'll probably laugh at you and be like, oh yeah, I remember my first time. And then they'll tell you like what not to do or how they did it, that they screwed up or whatever that looks like. Right. Mm-hmm. It's so important and it's so overlooked nowadays because there's so much pride in like, oh, I'll do it alone. Kind of that lone wolf mentality. But it's like, why? All these other people made all these mistakes. Even read some books. They'll tell you like they laid out their whole life in these books, right? Like mm-hmm. learn from their mistakes and everything will be fine. But so going back to that is vulnerability. And really learning how to use vulnerability. Cause I say it like vulnerability is a superpower. It's amazing. Yeah. If it comes from the right place, right? And not just dumping your problems on people, not dumping your problems all over social media with all the little minute things, but be vulnerable with yourself, where you came from. I use that a lot. Like I used to be an alcoholic. Like I talked to that. We were like very like paperwork, like almost in the works of getting divorced. I talk about that. Mm-hmm. You can talk about anything, complete open book. But I'm not going to kill you with all the minute little things that are like, oh, my problems, oh, poor me, whatever, right? I use that vulnerability as a teaching, as a lesson, as anywhere I can help out other people. So body, self, making sure you're okay with that, get in touch with nature, figure out some sort of martial art, figure out some way to protect yourself, whatever that looks like. And then relationship, really being vulnerable with your wife, with your girlfriend. And again, from a place of not just dumping all your problems on her, but being truly vulnerable and really opening up to them. And then myself, anyway, I'm very fortunate because I'm a dad, right? So I really get to spend time with my son, a lot of time with my son. And we got another one on the way here, but I'm just so fortunate in that, and getting to show them stuff, right? And getting to teach him lessons, but making sure that he doesn't just see like some fat dude sitting on the couch willing in his own problems, right? Like I really keep that in the back of my mind all the time. Like you have like a little set of eyes watching. So make sure that you gotta be a good example, right? So I'm very lucky in that. But even if you don't have kids, treat it like you do. Like be an example, be someone that you want to be in. Like I think Joe Rogan talks about like be a star in your own movie, like be that hero in your own movie. Mm-hmm. If there was a camera like following you around, are you doing things that you would want to watch or that you would want to see? And it all goes again back to like integrity, just integrity with yourself, make a plan, follow through, have integrity with it. So all of that, that's a long way winded of how I would try to help solve this masculinity problem, which again, there's so many nuances in that. There's probably going to be so many excuses in that, but at the same time, that's what it looks like. And that's what it's going to have to take. And it's really tough though today in society with how everything's so easy and so readily available, and everything's like, even relationships, right? You can just swipe left, swipe right, and it's just disposable relationships. Divorces are as common as like root canals, man. Like, it's just, it's crazy, right? So I know there's a big fight and there's a lot to like battle against, but there's a lot of things that we can do in our own way that that'll make it a lot better.
100%. One of my favorite quotes, John F. Kennedy is often credited with it, but he actually is from an older book. But, you know, what is it? Do not pray for easy lives, pray to be stronger men. And 100%, because you can't ask for an adventure without conflict, right? That's another thing that I think men are missing nowadays. I talk about that a lot, is the men don't have adventures in the traditional sense anymore. You know, so life for a man now kind of looks like going to work, coming home, playing video games until going to bed, and then rinse and repeat. And a lot of men will feel, and I can speak to this personally because this was where I was for years. It's like, is this all there is? Is this all there is to life? Like, you know, this feels boring. I'm just sad. I'm depressed. There's no, you know, my life isn't exciting. But it's like, there's so many reasons for why we're not going out and having these adventures. And personally, when it comes to video games, I'm not trying to shit on video games. I talk about video games a lot. Fine, they're a great art form and everything, but a lot of men try to synthesize adventure with video games. They try to have a fake adventure. Why? Because they don't have one in the real life. And so to me, this is a huge symptom of a problem of, usually you can trace it down to fear, the fear of the conflict or the risk, right? Or the danger. And okay, yeah, there is danger. God knows there's danger out there, but that's part of the adventure, right? You have to be willing to face that. And that's no small row to hoe, but it is a, it is to your benefit as a man to go out and have those adventures and face that danger.
That's such a great way to put it, because video games is a big one, right? That you nailed it with that. And then the other thing was sports. Like I like watching sports, right? But at the same time, when you think about it and you actually get logical about it, you're watching a bunch of grown men live out their dream and watch them chase their goals and live their life and make all this money and, you know, all these beautiful women and everything around them. You're watching this from your couch, having a beer, eating chips. It's like, why am I watching these guys do that and fantasizing about their lives and like, get out there and live your own life, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Both of those things were well designed to knock most men out, right? Video games and sports, man, it nails every single like receptor in our brain to be a man. That it nails every one of those from the safety of your armchair.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the hard part of it. And that fear is hard to overcome. You know, fear to me is a huge one. When I was paralyzed by fear when I was in my 20s, I think that one of the things that men find difficult nowadays is the idea of fear. And I just talked about this the other night on a podcast, is like, and part of this is because we live in such a safe society. So we live in like this risk averse society. It's like, oh, you know what? I can actually manage to live my life in a comfort zone without really having much risk. So maybe I should do it, right? This is the logic. And I think it's this, the most soul killing place to be, to live in that comfort zone and not to be willing to go out and have those adventures to face the danger, right? You got to face the, you know, like they say, you got to face the dragon to get the treasure. And it's like, there's a part of us that evolved for that, and that we need that to continue to evolve too, I think is very important. But yeah, no, I love it. I love your plan. I love your game plan. That sounds awesome. And it rings very true to the things I talk about all the time. And it's pretty obvious that we've probably listened to and come through very similar channels and life channels, life learning, education to come to this point. Because when I hear you talk about it, I resonate so much with it. Like, some of the things you say, I say all the time.
Absolutely, man. And then when looking at your story and everything, it's like, oh man, if I would have actually got that divorce in 2014, it's like, oh, we basically lived like the same life. Because after that, it was a real whirlwind of again, that's a topic for another day, but we sold everything and moved to London for a couple of years, right? And I really got to reevaluate my life and change 180 degrees to something that I really wanted to do and be, and just letting myself be the person I wanted to be and really grow into that and nurture that. And it's been an amazing ride ever since, right? But absolutely, everything we talk about is very similar. And again, the biggest thing is just vulnerability. Guys just really have to learn how to harness that. And man, it can go miles. It's so crazy. And that's, it sucks. It's sad because I see so many men like right on the cusp, they're right there. And then they go back into that fear overtakes them. And then they go back to that comfort zone and that easy life. And you nailed it. Like on paper, that seems like a great idea. It's like, okay, we got no risk really, but we get all this, like all these good things coming to us, but it doesn't serve our instincts, our biology. And it makes us feel terrible. And that's where all these problems, mental health issues come into play. And that's exactly what's happening right now.
100%. Okay. So on the subject of vulnerability, I want to go down one more thread here before we wrap it up. And what I want to ask you is, and this is probably getting a little tactical a little bit, but like with vulnerability, now this is a question I get all the time. And it is a good question because it's confusing for men. And I want to hear your take on it because I feel like you could probably really shed some good light on this. When men are saying, okay, be vulnerable with my wife, but I'm not supposed to tell her everything. What does that mean? Like, can you go deeper? I don't exactly know what that means. If you were asked to go a bit deeper and kind of explain the tactics of that, how a man deploys that in his life in a good way, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I hear you because everything is telling you like, again, open up, be emotional, all this stuff. You're like, well, how do I do that? Someone tell me how. And again, it's such a nuanced thing that it changes every conversation, every day, every interaction. But it's, again, you have to really look in the mirror and you got to be okay with yourself. And again, this is a work in progress. So if you're starting from scratch, don't think, okay, I got to be better and then I can be vulnerable or whatever that looks like. Start now, but just be aware of like, okay, as the more I work on myself, the more I do, this will become easier. It's going to become easier and easier and easier, and it'll just become second nature. But being vulnerable within a relationship is, I had a real problem with that in the beginning because I always thought, and this is just the mentality I grew up with all the time, is like, if I tell people my insecurities, if I tell people what I'm working on, that I don't have all my stuff lined up, if I'm kind of wavering on things, that my people use that against me. People use that as like ammunition to like make fun of me or put me down or
your girlfriend will throw it in your face during a fight, something like that.
That's exactly it. I joke about that. It's like, yeah, the dad bods, everyone's hard about dad bods. Like, yeah, I tell you you're an argument, then you're just a fat guy. You're just a fat mess, right? So everyone, yeah, I love a dad bod. Yeah, tell they're arguing, then you're a fat mess. So exactly, right? So I always thought people would use that against me. But once you have to create that safe container too within the relationship. So once you have that container built, and that's with anything, that's a relationship with mentors, with men's groups, you have to make sure that you have that safe container. You can't just go out and pour your heart out to people if they're not reciprocating for one, or if, you know, you just don't feel safe in that situation. So like I say, in the relationship, build that container, and then you can really, honestly, the easiest way to be vulnerable for me is to really listen to my woman. Because any woman will, as soon as they feel, like I say, a little bit in their feminine, they're going to open up. Like they're going to just, that's what they do, right? Women are kind of a hurricane of emotions, and they'll vomit out ideas, and they'll kind of like this podcast right now. I'll be talking about one thing and I'll jump to another thing. But they'll just go, right? And as a man, I find it easy if I can listen to that. So again, that goes really far into relationship training. Like we got courses about relationship that's strictly like learning to listen. But if you can really listen to your woman, she'll really tell you kind of which direction this kind of conversation can go, and then where you can start being vulnerable in that conversation. But really listen and don't try to fix any of your, that's like the golden rule. That's like the silver bullet, is don't try to fix all those problems that she's talking to you about. And she's going to hit you with all those like little minute things, all her insecurities, all the problems that are going on. And don't try to fix them. Don't try to interject your thoughts. Don't try to do any of that. Just listen, take it in. Obviously give her like verbal cues or even visual cues that you are listening, you are paying attention, the TV shut off, you're not looking at your phone. Really listen. And then she'll ask your input when she wants it. And when she does ask your input, come at it from a little bit of a place of vulnerability. Don't come at it from like your problem or your point of view, but just come at it from an understanding and a softer way of doing it. But don't try to fix the problem. Just open up a little more to it and so that she can understand. And that's more of your feelings and where you're coming from your feelings. And then this is only if she asks, then you can really get into kind of the granular things of like, okay, how can we kind of fix this? But if she doesn't, leave it at that and that'll be fine. And that's all she needs. She doesn't need you to like fix this stuff or do anything. It's just someone that listened and was open enough with her to kind of reciprocate some of that, but not have to, don't turn into a bitch fest. Don't turn into a problem solving day. Don't turn into like a whiteboarding mind map situation. Just listen and take it in, because it'll go so far. And it sounds so airy fairy and so easy to say, but man, once you start practicing that, it's a crazy how well it works. Not just the way we're wired, it's the way people are.
I love it. Well said. Said like a wise man who has a lot of experience with it. I learned a lot from the wrong way.
Put it that way.
That's how it goes. And that's the best. Well, it's not the best way to learn, but you do learn good lessons when you're willing to learn through the hard situations. I often say, there's no such thing as failure if you don't give up. They're just lessons, you know. And that's, man, God, I've learned a lot of hard lessons in my life by crashing the ship over and over again. Like, and that, but you know, it does leave us wiser, hopefully, if we are willing to do it. And your advice is spot on. I love it. Especially don't make a whiteboard of it. It's like, yeah, don't overthink it. And you're right. Guys do kind of overthink it. They think like, oh, I got to fix it, because guys are very linear thinkers. They're linear thinkers, and women tend to be more abstract thinkers. And so men will be like, oh, there's a problem. Let's put a nut and bolt on it and we'll tighten it up. We'll fix it. It's like, and that's your provider part of you coming out. However, it's so important to understand that oftentimes that's not really what the situation is. The problem that needs to be fixed is she just wants to be heard, right? She doesn't want you to like literally take the problem and fix it. She just wants you to listen and to give her a hug and say, it'll be all right. Don't worry. We'll be fine.
Exactly. Like save your head for your mission, your goal, your focus, and your career. Save it for that, because that's where it comes in handy and that's where you need it. But you got to use your heart out there too with that emotional intelligence. But then your heart is for home. Shut that problem solving. I mean, obviously you got to get through problems. I get that, the little things, but make sure that you're really your heart heavy at home and really listen and take her in and take her feelings into consideration, and it'll go miles for you. It's crazy how well it goes. But again, it takes some work. It takes working on that container, making that safe space and making her feel safe. And once she's opens up, man, it's pretty awesome. And once you both get going in that same direction, your team, I'm really heavy on team, and you start doing that, then you're not fighting each other, and you don't have this battle in the house. There's enough problems outside of the house, right? And everything else coming at you in the house, it's strong, it's healthy, it's very loving, safe space. And then when you get outside, you're strong enough, you got the energy to fight those battles.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a leadership principle. I love it. All right, Michael, where can people find you and find your work online?
Yeah, definitely. We got everything at therevivedcouple.com. So we have a website out there. There's some trainings. There's different ways to get a hold of either myself, Laura, both of us, whatever that looks like. And Instagram would be at therevivedcouple. And you can find us on there, stories, all the other fun stuff.
Also, I'm going to share the links in the description. So those of you listening, if you want to check it out, you can find it maybe easy clicking through the links in the description. But Michael, thank you so much for being on. It was an honor and a pleasure to have you. Definitely walking in alpha mentality, no doubt. And I have no doubt that you're going to do some amazing things in this community to help men and couples. And it's awesome to meet another person who cares about the mission, who cares about helping people to make their lives better. I love it.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. It was an honor. It was a great conversation. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll have to have another one again sometime soon.
Absolutely.
All right. That's going to be it for this one. Go with grace, my friends. Never give up your power. This is Josh Segafis signing off.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit www.joshuasegafis.com. Catch you on the flip side.